What are you even worried about? It's Worry Week on The Wire.
It is indeed Worry Week, and it's cultural appropriation. What have we got, Lisa?
So today we're looking at cultural appropriation in New Zealand in the art scene. It's actually interesting timing because the Auckland Art Gallery is currently hosting a retrospective of the work of one of New Zealand's most famous artists, Gordon Walters. Walters is famous for his abstraction of Māori symbols like the koru, which pretty much became his signature. And he's also been accused of cultural appropriation by several prominent figures of the Māori art scene, such as Rangihi Roa Panoho and Nahuia Te Awe Kotuku. And so today I'd like to have a look at a few Pakeha artists who, while being vastly celebrated in New Zealand, have been producing art that some see as culturally insensitive. And yeah, here are some food for thoughts. Yes.
I'm going to let you go and you just say stuff. But I think I want to point out that you were a little bit concerned about covering this topic because you felt sort of not so clued up about it all. But I think it's important to be aware that people that may not necessarily be aware of this, there is information out there and it is good for you to go out and find yourself and to learn more, which I presume you have done this morning.
Yeah, I spent quite a bit of time. I still feel like it wasn't enough, but there is definitely a lot of information out there. A lot of people have thought about it, whether it was 50 years ago or as recently as yesterday. So I think it's always good to just have a critical mind. And this piece isn't really about necessarily like throwing stones at people, but kind of starting a dialogue and having people have a thought about that.
Because this is not necessarily a new issue. This has happened for a very long time.
Yeah.
But it continues to happen. So the more awareness we have of that, the better, right?
Yeah. And it's also not limited to New Zealand. So a lot of places where you have native artwork, there has been cases of cultural appropriation by artists who, under the guise of sort of trying to embrace the work of art that was there before them, I suppose, also use it and misinterpret it and misuse it in general.
All right, let's hear it.
So, where was I? Oh, yeah, so I wanted to start with Theo Schoen, who is a New Zealand artist of Dutch descent, and he became quite interested in Māori art forms. That was back in the early 20th century. Because he was so interested, he went on to spend quite a lot of time studying and researching Uri Māori rock carvings and drawings in Canterbury. And his interest meant he learned traditions and symbolism from Māori elders firsthand. And he strongly believed in the necessity to protect the Māori artwork. He even convinced the curator of ethnology at Canterbury Museum in Christchurch of the value of these carvings and drawings. And his engagement with the community and his strong desire to bring Māori art out of the dark and in the limelight has contributed to him being usually labelled as an ally. But that kind of, there might be some issues with this. I guess there's a couple of ways to look at it. So first off, Schoen did acknowledge the source of the work and the tradition, and he actually did engage and spend time to try and understand the tradition and the cultural artwork. So you could see it as, it was appropriation, I suppose, but it's more legitimate. Or you can consider that even though he did all that research and he did spend all that time, he was still part of a dominant culture, and he had the privilege to opt in or out of Māori traditions and to select what he thought was valuable without the idea of an exchange. It was still from his point of view.
I was just going to say legitimate might not be the best word to use because again, it's not necessarily for him or others of non-Māori descent to decide what is legitimate or not. But you can see that he's put a bit of work into it, right?
Yeah, exactly. That being said, like I was saying just before, he still had, because he was not part of said culture, he still had the option to kind of choose what he wanted to present as valuable, and he could do so without being judged for it or without having to, he was free of all that judgment, I suppose, which put him in a comfortable position. And also the idea that it came, it had to come from a Bakia man to bring the Māori traditions into the limelight. And that was the only way for the museum to take it into consideration, is because a Bakia man decided that, oh, this is worth something, is potentially problematic, even though I don't know if it relates to him per se, but I guess the times were problematic. But now I want to look into Gordon Walters, who I mentioned in the introduction. So he produced most of his abstract modernist work from the 1950s onwards, and he experimented with traditional Māori motifs, notably through his ongoing Koru series. And his work is sometimes presented as bringing Māori and European ideas together, which I guess suggests the idea of a dialogue, but that might be extrapolating a little bit on his intentions, because the whole point of his art is to represent abstraction, to focus on the shape, the form, or the colour of the motif. And just for a definition of abstraction, the Tate Modern Gallery in London puts it this way. Abstraction is when an artist either removes elements from an object to create a more simplified form, or produces something which has no source at all in external reality. And so by using abstraction, Walters is actually distancing himself from the cultural meaning behind the koru. And the koru might have become a widely acknowledged symbol for New Zealand, and that's probably partly due to Walter's work of art, but its meaning in Māori tradition has probably been somewhat forgotten in the process, and that's also probably because it's been overused for commercial and like branding and advertising purposes alongside the tiki. Which leads me to talk about Dick Frizzell. Frizzell is a contemporary New Zealand artist famous for his tiki exhibition in 1992, which actually drew quite a bit of controversy. For this exhibition, Frizzell presented work showing Māori motifs represented through a variety of styles right from modern art. So there was the famous Mickey Mouse that progressively transforms into a tiki, or the four square man with a moko. And so here is Frizzell's explanation for his art. He says, and that's a quote, in 1992, oh no, sorry, that's not the quote, that's me in my own words, but that's from a quote. In 1992, he was on a trip on the east coast of New Zealand. He was looking for what he calls shonky Māori art, and he couldn't find it anywhere. So he decided to create it himself in the tradition of multiple Western art movements. And so to give a little bit of context, there's at this time discussion about whether or not there can be a bad or a low Māori art form. There are multiple voices in the Māori art scene that are expressing concern about how we're being a bit too traditionalist with Māori motifs in the art world. And so part of the catalogue of Frizzell's exhibition is actually made of essays by Māori critics, which is, I think, interesting because there's this idea that if you have people from a culture backing you in your intentions, then therefore you didn't do anything wrong, which I don't know if I agree with that. I don't think so. But Frizzell gained quite a bit of support in that time for doing that and questioning this idea that there should be a place for a low form or like a bad form of Māori art. And he also presented in still presents his work, so that's what he thinks, that's what is being said of him also sometimes, that his work is a sort of criticism of Bakia artists in the way they misrepresent Māori artwork, which seems to be what a new wave of young artists seem to think about his work as well, which I don't really know what to think about this because it feels like it's quite easy to say, oh, but this is a criticism. But and it hasn't necessarily, not everyone seems to believe that the intention was there or that it was done the right way, I suppose, even if the intention was there. He is an artist that was and is still aware of the controversy that his work could bring, and he's kind of built his entire career around provocation and the fact that he intended to open up the dialogue or the debate at that time isn't making it better. Okay, I gotta finish that because we only have a couple of minutes. I just wanted to point out that his work has also been used for, well, he's probably drawn quite a bit of financial benefit from his artwork. His kitsch aesthetic has been quite appealing to brands. And so Countdown has actually put his design on shopping bags. There's heaps of T-shirts that are being printed, and reproduction of his work is quite frequent. And it just seemed to me, but that's personal opinion here, that it's potentially a little bit cynical to make money of someone's of representing someone's culture under the guise of trying to attract attention on this misrepresentation. It just seems a bit, I don't know, too entangled and not easily understandable for anyone who doesn't have a background in observing and just reflecting on art. But definitely brands in New Zealand and abroad have actually been looking into Māori imagery, and mainly for their aesthetic qualities, I suppose, or without really giving too much thought about what they represent. And that, I think, is potentially problematic. I think we'll look into that a little bit later throughout the week. But let's, in the meantime, if we go to the museum and if we enjoy pieces of art for their aesthetic qualities, let's still try and think about who did it, from which perspective they did it, whether it is respectful of cultures.
Whose agenda is it serving? That sort of thing.
Yeah, just be critical.
Brilliant. Thank you, Lisa.
No worries.
Worry Week on The Wire.